We are in week four of our Connect, Grow, Serve, Go message series where we are talking together about our spiritual growth pathway here at Southwinds. And I have been explaining to you that these four words describe for us how we help people move towards full devotion to Christ in their lives. And our word today is the word serve. We have been learning just to keep you with us, that we walk this pathway of spiritual growth in our lives as we connect to Christ's life, as we connect to Christ's church, and just be reminded what you heard earlier in the service. Part of the way that happens very practically is through baptism, when you trust in Christ and you express that publicly. That is meant to be a connection to the life of this church. Part of how that happens is when people take our Discovery 101 class and they learn what it means to be a member, and they make a commitment to be a member. And so this is where this spiritual growth pathway launches for us here at Southwinds. And then if you were here last week, you remember that we defined spiritual growth as becoming more like Jesus. And we saw last week that how that happens is we grow up in Christ, which refers to our individual, personal, spiritual growth. And then we talked about how we grow together in Christ, which is about corporate growth, growing as a community, growing with other people. And that brings us to today's word, serve. And serve tells us that as we connect and as we grow, it should always lead to serving. It should always result in that kind of action. And so the way we're expressing this reality for us is that at Southwinds, every one of us should serve in Christ's church. And also, we should serve in Christ's world. We believe that God calls every Christ follower to have a ministry in the church and to have a mission in the world. Now, today, what we're going to talk about is mainly serving in Christ's church. In our text, if you want to get your Bible open, you want to get your Bible turned on to this, is Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll be reading verses 7 through 16, where Paul focuses on how God wants the body of Christ to function. I was thinking this week about body language, you know, this idea, we're all familiar with it, that we communicate with way more than our words, right? Some people have said that up to 93% of communication that we receive as we communicate with other people is nonverbal. So the way we stand or sit, and you know, the way we look at someone, how we move our hands, how we hold our body, our posture, those things may say more about what we're thinking and what we're feeling than our words alone. And I think we all know the reality is that sometimes our words and our bodies don't align. They don't match up, right? Sometimes this works this way in church, because what we say we believe about Christ, what we say we believe about his church, doesn't end up aligning or matching up with what the Bible teaches. And that's often the case with serving. See, many of us who have joined Christ's body, and if you feel guilty at the beginning of the sermon with what I'm about to say, that is my intention and my express purpose. Many of us are mostly content to take and to receive. We don't seek a place to serve. We don't find a place to get active. We're consumers. We're not contributors. And so today we're gonna challenge that. I want to do that by reading our text, and then we're going to show three truths that Paul teaches us, gives us about the body of Christ. And each of these truths just tells us real simply, everyone, say everyone, should be serving. Say serving. So everyone should be serving. And here's what Paul tells us. He says, beginning in verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is God's word. Everybody say amen. Well, this passage, I think you sense, tells us so many things. We no way we're going to cover all of them. But one of the things I just want to point out as we get into it is that God's purpose in salvation is not just to save you, not just to make you comfortable and give you a good life and then take you to heaven. His purpose was to fill you with himself, that union with Christ we talked about so much in Romans. You see verse 10, the whole point of Christ's work was that he might fill all things, and that includes you, letting him enter you, become a part of who you are. You're united with him. You experience him in your life. That means for you to love the world like he loves the world, for you to be this conduit of his love and his power flowing through you. And so he fills you and gives you spiritual gifts. And those gifts help you experience him, not just working for you and not just working in you, but also working through you. And this is actually one of the most exciting things about following Christ, but the sad reality is many of us don't know much of anything about it because we've never experienced it personally. See, God wants to do some things through you that would blow your mind if you understood it. He wants you to be amazed at how he fills you with himself and he works within you. Paul prays this amazing prayer for the Ephesians back in Ephesians 1. It's verses 15 to 23. You should read it sometime this week. And in this prayer, he prays that the church might understand the power that's at work in and through them. That's in verse 19. And this is what Paul's talking about right here, that we should understand and be familiar with the gifts that God has put inside us. You know, one of the prayers that I've prayed for you this week is that you wouldn't leave today, you know, feeling beat up because you're not involved enough, that you just have one more thing to do, you know, on your spiritual to-do list, but you would leave today with this sense of eager anticipation because your mind has been blown by how much God wants to do in you, through you. See, do you understand? Do you understand that God can use you to change someone else's eternity? He can work through you to do that, and he does it as you serve. See, I told you there were three things I want you to see. Here's the first of those three things that you need to know as you're walking this spiritual growth pathway. The first one is, in Christ's body, everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. Let me show you where this comes from. Look at verse 7, where it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, that first word, but, is an adversative conjunction. And you're going to have a spelling test afterwards to see if you actually got that right. No, but it's a complicated grammatical term. It simply means, you heard that word, it's like adversary. So it's set against what just came before, what Paul has just said in verses 1 through 6. And he's talking there about unity. See, verses 1 through 6 say we're all one in Christ. And then he uses the word but, and he goes on to say, but we're also all different. That's verses 7 through 16. And so this beautiful unity in diversity. And Paul says, out of that frame, God is giving us grace. Grace here, it refers to spiritual gifts. And Paul says, each one of us, did you notice that? Maybe underline it in your Bible. Each one of us has at least one gift. No exceptions. It's everyone. So if you are in Christ, if you are a Christ follower, you have at least one spiritual gift. And he says, notice that gift is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, this word measure is a root word for our word metrics, and so maybe you can think of it like this. In other words, Christ sovereignly gives gifts to his body according to his metrics, according to what he wants to do. We don't choose the gifts. We just receive them. In verses 8 through 10, Paul is quoting from Psalm 68, and these verses can be kind of confusing. And I just want to say right now that Paul's basic point is that Christ in his incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father's side, he has gained the authority, he's gained the power to give to us whatever gifts he wants to give. And we each have a gift if we're in Christ's body. I want you just right now to affirm that, not only in your mind, but I want you to say it out loud together. Would you just say, I have a gift? I have a gift. Everybody has a gift. Now, how can we make that practical? So, what are spiritual gifts? And how do I know what mine are? I want to connect some dots for you through these verses. You can just write this down as you look at these portions of the scripture up on the screen. Spiritual gifts are an ability that God gives you that he uses to build up the body of Christ. So in verse 7, it says, but grace was given to each one of us. Why? Verse 12 says, for the building up of the body of Christ. Where is that headed? Until we all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God. And so Paul is saying, among other things, I come to know God better through your gift. Have you ever thought that? Realized that you come to know God better through other people's gifts, and the same thing works for them with you? See, maybe you have learned something about Christ that I haven't yet. And you share that with me, and it helps me see him better. Maybe you have an ability that you can use, and that helps me know truth about Christ or truth about my life. There's some of you here right now, you are gifted to speak for Christ, like speaking God's words over other people. And I know that because I have experienced that. Some of you, you are gifted to let other people know the compassion of Christ. It's like when you touch their lives, it is more than a human touch. People feel and experience Jesus through you. It is Jesus ministering through you. Some of you have a mind for ministry. You're gifted to see things and to discern what needs to get done and then how to get those things done. God gives you a special awareness. You have this alertness to the need that is around you, and you can dream and you can plan. You have giftings for that. Some of you, the way you pray, You know the mind of God. You see what God wants to do, and you pray these things like into existence. And what results from all this? Well, verse 16 says, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So maybe write this down. Spiritual gifts are how God or how Christ ministers to his people. It's the way we experience his power. We experience Christ through spiritual giftings. If you were to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is this whole chapter on spiritual gifts, you would see in that chapter that spiritual gifts are called a manifestation of Christ. And a manifestation is when something invisible becomes visible. Like someone may love you, but if they don't ever say it, husbands, pay attention right now. If they don't ever say it, or if they don't ever do things that show love, you don't really know, right? But when they say, I love you, or when they do something loving for you, that love is manifested. It becomes visible. And in the same way, the invisible Christ becomes visible. He is made manifest. We see his character. We see his beauty through his body, the church, as the church uses the gifts that Christ has given. Sometimes people will ask, well, how are gifts different from talents? And they aren't the same thing. Here's a great quote by the theologian J.I. Packer. He says, the ability to speak or act in a certain way is only a spiritual gift if and as God uses it to build up the body. Some natural abilities or talents that God has given, he never uses in this way. While sometimes he chooses to build up his body through performances that in our eyes seem substandard. What makes something a spiritual gift is not the quality of the performance, but the blessing of God. See, what makes a talent a gift is God uses it to reveal himself to others. Maybe you can understand it this way. Talents are what God gives you when you're born. Gifts are what God gives you when you were born again. And so just because you have a talent that you exercise, you know, in your life, it doesn't mean it's a spiritual gift. Often there's overlap, but not always. And the difference is always seen when that talent is something God uses to build up his body. And again, we all have at least one. Everyone has a gift. So how do you know what yours is? Well, a lot of us have taken spiritual gift tests. These may have some value, but in my opinion, tests are often unhelpful for a variety of reasons. I don't have time to go into that. We talk about that more in our Discovery 301 class. Free ad right now just slid right in there if you were paying attention. But how do we know? How do we know what our spiritual gift is? And I think there are two main ways. The first is you find fulfillment and joy when you're using that gift. There's effectiveness, there's impact. People's lives are touched and changed, and there's fruit. But second, other people will affirm that gift in you. Other people will affirm it. And so all of us can help with this. And one of the ways you can help with other people is if you see someone utilizing a gift, you see God working through someone, then you tell them. You just let them know, hey, God used you to bless my life. God used you to encourage me. God used you to challenge me, to strengthen me. This is an important way that we can help each other know what our gifts are. Maybe you're wondering why this all matters. You know, why is it so crucial that I know what my gift is or my gifts? And the reason is you are uniquely gifted. And that means you have a particular part to play in the body of Christ. There's only one you, and if you don't play the part God has given you, then other parts of the body are missing out. And maybe you can just think about it this way. This analogy of the body of Christ obviously connects to our physical bodies, and we now know that scientifically every person is absolutely unique. I looked some stuff up on, you know, the always infallible source of truth, the interwebs, this week, and I read that the human DNA code can be arranged in 1 in 10 to the 2 billionth power. That is 1 with 2 billion zeros after it. I don't know who counted that, figured that out. I'm just trusting that it is true. But just for perspective, 1 trillion, you know, think national debt, it only has 12 zeros behind it. This is 1 times 2 billion zeros. That is how unique you are. We're all unique. We're all creations of the infinite God, and he can infinitely create us with infinite uniqueness. And it's the same way spiritually. In other words, spiritually, there's nobody like you. Nobody. You have gifts, and you have vision, and you have experiences, and you have energies that drive you, and they're completely unique, and God has given them to you, and that means that there are certain ways that you uniquely reveal Christ. There are certain people that you uniquely influence to come under the lordship of Christ, and that means if you don't use your gifts, if you don't serve in the way God's calling you to, then there are certain aspects and facets and pictures of who Christ is in all of his beauty that will not be displayed. And some of you aren't sure you believe that. And I'm praying that you will soon believe that, that God has done something that wonderful and amazing in you. Do you know Ephesians 2:10? It's a familiar memorization verse. It says that there are good works that God prepared beforehand for us to do. God has set something out from eternity past that he has for you to do. And I want to encourage you to embrace that today. Will you? Will you even in your mind right now just say, God, I don't know if I see it, but I want to see it and I want to believe it and I want to do it. I mean, will you do that? See, there are people in your orbit that he wants to reach, and he wants you to reach them, and he wants you to bring them into the kingdom, and no one else can reach them maybe but you. There are people that he wants to use your mouth to speak his word, his truths that will set some captives free. There are people who he wants to use you and their life to minister healing to, you know, maybe they won't otherwise experience it. As some of you, he wants you to take his power into certain professions, places where you work. And if you don't play your part, it's not going to get done. That's why you must find your gift. One more thing. You will never really experience fulfillment until you find and use your gift. See, God saved you so that he could fill you and so that he could use you. And I just want to ask you, do you really know what that is like? See, a lot of you, you know Jesus saved you, but you're not really sure if you've ever seen him using you in his service. And I'm telling you today, he wants to do that. See, Jesus is the Savior who has come to us, and he wants to give us his power. He has given us his power. You know, one of the reasons that I think mission trips like we were thinking about with our three young men that are going around the world, why mission trips are so powerful sometimes is that people go and they experience on these trips, maybe for the first time, how God can use them. And when they do that, they experience that there is absolutely nothing like seeing the God of the universe use you to impact another person's life. So here's the point I'm driving at. Some of you are sitting here right now and you feel unfulfilled spiritually. You feel kind of aimless. You feel a little bored, you know, because truth is you've never really experienced God using you to serve. That's the first truth. The second truth is that Christ gifts some to equip the body. See, everyone has a gift. That's all of us. But Christ has also gifted some of us in different ways. And in verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So Paul mentions several gifts of leadership, and the apostles and the prophets, these were the foundational leaders who established the church. Now, we're not going to get into this today, and I recognize there are differences of opinion. We believe here that these offices do not exist today in the way that they did, and we see them in the New Testament. But we do believe the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers exist today, that these are the offices of gifted leadership that remain for the church today. Now, this office of evangelist, this is someone who is particularly gifted and skilled and used by God to explain and proclaim the gospel. We always need to remind ourselves that every one of us is called to share the gospel, whether you're gifted or not. Every one of us is supposed to tell other people about Jesus, whether you're good at it or not. In fact, some of us may need to confess today, I'm really bad at sharing the gospel, but I'm still supposed to do it. And God will use us amazingly when we do that. Shepherds and teachers, well, these two words actually are the words that speak to what we're most familiar with in churches in terms of leadership. And in the New Testament, these words are basically interchangeable, the same person, different components of the office or function. Sometimes the New Testament says elders, sometimes it says bishops, sometimes it says pastor. If you want to learn more about this, come today at 3 o'clock. We actually spend some moments talking about this in our Discovery 101 class. But it's important to note, as you look at all of these, that there is a central core of teaching in these gifts. And so Christ has gifted his body with leaders. Why? To teach. Why? To equip. So let's just bring it home to Southwinds, to us today. God has gifted each of you, you know, for ministry. Everyone has a gift. You have a gift. And so what this tells us is that my role as a pastor is primarily to teach you how to use your gifts, to teach you how to grow, to teach you how to access that power that Christ wants to unleash in your life. My role is not to do ministry for you. My role is not for you to come and watch God work in my life, okay? That's not my job, you know, just to do this and have you look at me. My role is to equip you to do ministry. And it's interesting, the language that Paul uses here describes these leaders as gifted, but he also describes them as gifts. He says these leaders are given as gifts to the church. So that means if anyone ever says to me, Mike, you just think you're God's gift to Southwinds Church. I always say, yes, I do. It's right there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. See, what's the gift of a pastor for? Well, Paul says it's to equip. It's to equip the saints, and that's you, for the work of the ministry. See, who does the ministry according to what Paul says here? The answer is the saints. You do the ministry. What's my role as your pastor? Well, it starts with an E and it rhymes with whipper. Equipper. That's my job. That's my role, to equip you for ministry. And I say this tongue in cheek, but it's true. When I became a pastor almost 40 years ago, I left the ministry. Think about that for a while. The Raiders fans are slowly getting what they just heard. But ministry is what all of us do. That's the point. It's what all of us do. And a pastor, a leader's job primarily is to equip saints to do that ministry. And so the real question is, are you receiving that equipping? Not just learning, but taking it in and applying it to your life. If you go to the book of Acts, do you know that 39 of the 40 miracles that happened in that book happened outside the church? So they're like out in the world. And where's the power of God? Well, it's in you, God's people. You take it out into the world, and that impacts how we see ministry here at Southwinds. We're not a church with a vision to have a large group of people who come and bask in the gifts of a few leaders. Instead, we desire to see all Christ followers empowered to do ministry themselves. That's what our vision is. It's not to be a group of people who come and sit and watch someone like me, and hopefully God is working in me, or you come and you watch our creative arts team and see how God is working in them. That's not our vision. It is all of us coming together and then being released to take God's power into our community. See, the greatest access to spiritual power is not in me as a pastor. It is in the church, and that's all of us. It is in you. It is out in the community. Now, this may be hard for some of us to think about, but I really believe that the best ideas for doing ministry are out here in the people, in you, not so much in just the leaders. See, some people, and this is an interesting feature of church life, some people seem to think that their gift is thinking of ministries that the church should be doing, by which they mean someone else, usually the pastor. And so I just want to let you know, if you ever come to me and you say, Pastor, we need a ministry doing this or that, my response typically will be to say, you know, since God gave you the desire and the vision for this, he's probably giving you the responsibility to make it happen. That will keep most of you from ever bringing me an idea, I understand. But that's really true. If he's put it on your heart, doesn't it make sense that he wants you to be involved, not for you to think up ideas for other people to do? And there's another thing that I think we should note, because some people, they want the church to do every single ministry idea out there, whatever, wherever they've heard it, wherever they've seen it, whatever context, they want a ministry for everything, for, you know, from every church that they've ever seen anywhere in their lives. And they want that to run, of course, through the pastors in the church office. And when people think like that, it always reminds me of Golden Corral. They have like something for everyone, but none of it is any good. And there's no offense if you like Golden Corral, but just think about it. They serve Asian food there. And I just want to stipulate, can we agree that if your restaurant has Corral in the name, you should not serve Asian food? Probably. There is another restaurant I love to eat at. It's called Ruth's Chris. And I don't eat there very often, only when I, you know, get a gift card from someone at my church, in case you're wondering how that works. And like Ruth's Chris is great. They only do a few things, right? But they do everything very, very well. And as a church, we want to be more like Ruth's Chris than Golden Corral. Can we all agree? See, this is why I sometimes will say no to some of you when you say to me, can we start this ministry that I want you, Pastor Mike, to be in charge of? See, when you have a good idea, God gave it to you for a reason. And my job is to equip you, to empower you, and release you to love God and serve God, because I want you to grow up in Christ. And we all grow best and most as we serve. And this truth is particularly significant for our church Southwinds in this season. If you were here last week, you heard that Pastor Chris Martinez has been called by God. We are trusting to serve at another church in Oceanside, California, which is his home. And we know, all of us, that it's a terrible, difficult burden that God has laid on him to have to go to Oceanside. But someone has to do it, right? And that means that in a few weeks, if you haven't been counting, some of you have, but we're only going to have three pastors on staff currently. Now, we are continuing in our search for a student pastor. Actually, we have some interviews this week, and I would encourage you to pray for God's wisdom and God's guidance about that. And I would also just let you know, if you don't, that our student ministry is thriving during this season without a pastor, through the leadership of some amazing volunteers. I'm going to tell you some specifics about that next Sunday. But of course, long term, as a church, we are seeking to get back to our strategic plan currently of having five pastor teachers that are giving their lives to lead and equip and serve the church. Your elder team is praying, is working diligently to see that happen, and I would encourage you to pray. But here's the thing. Until that happens, we need more than ever for the Southwinds body to step up. We need more than ever for the Southwinds body to get into serving. And this is especially true in the summer months. You know, I'm looking at our church, and I know right now, like all across this campus today, for example, we have so many amazing people who are serving in our children and student ministries. We have an amazing creative arts team that blessed you a few moments ago. They lead you in praise every week, and they got here early like they do every Sunday to prepare for that. Others of you got here really early, you know, to get our buildings ready. You cleaned up, you picked up, you were at our doors welcoming everyone. We have this incredible team of first responders at Southwinds. They stand ready all the time to protect the Southwinds family. We have Celebrate Recovery, that's called CR. We have Disaster Relief, that's called DR, around here that serve, you know, here and around the world. And some of you are hope I'll stop talking soon so that you can get out to the lobby and have the snacks that are prepared by Cafe Southwinds. They serve us. I mean, there's so many servants at our church, but also right now, we need at least 20 more people serving in children's ministries. And by the way, this will only apply to you if it applies to you. We need people who serve and who actually show up on time and who actually show up when they say they'll show up. Amen. 20 people, at least. Right now, we need at least 25 more people to serve in our guest services ministries, greeters and ushers and Levites and Info Center volunteers. We need that many more people to help And summer is coming, which means vacations are coming, and we're going to need even more of you because some of you are going to be gone, and we're going to need some of the others of you to be here to welcome our guests and to help teach their children. We have needs for people to serve maybe a time or two a month helping with landscaping and helping with maintenance on our facilities. Vacation Bible School is coming in June. We're going to need people to serve children during that week in an intensive way. And I could go on and on. And maybe as I was giving all of those things, you heard the Holy Spirit's voice calling you to serve in one of those ways. Maybe you didn't, but that doesn't let you off the hook. That just possibly may mean you're not listening. I don't know. But everyone has a gift, and that does mean you. And God has given all of us pastors and leaders and teachers to help equip you. And so therefore, all of this means, put it together, it's time for all of us to be serving. And so if you're not serving, just jump in somewhere. Email me if you need help figuring it out. Email Pastor Chris Thielen. Email Pastor Eric. You know, we do not make people sign lifetime contracts. And so if you sign up for something and it doesn't work, we'll help you find a different place. And if you have been looking for a sign, here's your sign, okay? God is calling you to serve. God is calling all of us to serve. Third truth that tells us why God calls us to serve. I want to state it like this. The purpose of Christ's gifts is to grow his body. Verses 13 and 14 say, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, God gives gifts for this one single purpose, to grow his body. He gives you spiritual gifts. He gives leadership gifts to certain people to grow his body. And Paul is telling us what he means in these verses when he says that. Let me unpack it for you this way. These verses, I think, tell us at least two things we will not experience if we don't serve. If we're not being equipped, we will not experience two things. First of all, maturity. We won't experience maturity. We won't attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We won't grow, you know, in what the Bible teaches, a truth about God. We won't grow up. We won't know Christ. We won't be able to walk with Christ. We won't be able to grow in intimacy with him. Real maturity only happens as we serve. See, some of us think it happens when we learn stuff. And I'm all for learning stuff. I believe in learning stuff. But I don't believe in learning stuff you never do anything with. I don't believe in learning stuff so you can write it down in a notebook and put it on a shelf and never apply it in any way. Second, we won't experience stability. We will still be children tossed to and fro by the waves. Anybody ever notice how short a child's attention span is? That's the way it is with a lot of adult Christ followers in terms of their faith. They move from one fad to another. They're carried about by every wind of doctrine. Maybe it's this TV preacher. Maybe it's this website they stumble on. They're easily moved by any and every idea that they just run across. And as a result, they get susceptible to what Paul here calls human cunning, to craftiness in deceitful schemes. And what he says they need is solid teaching that is experienced in Christ's body that gives them stability to stand against these things. And they only were going to get that. You're only going to get that as you serve. We need the body for these things because it really is. Look at verses 15 and 16. Only in the body that I can experience the balance of truth and love. I need truth and I need love. That's how I grow up in every way into him who is the head. And again, notice Paul is using this body language, ligaments and joints. And notice in verse 16 that it's when each part is working properly, that's when it makes the body grow. That's when the body builds itself up in love. So what happens if some parts of the body are not working properly? Well, the body can't grow the way it should. This is so important. In Christ, hear me again, everyone has a gift. And in the church, Christ has gifted certain people to equip the body. And all of these gifts that Christ has given to the church are given for the purpose of growing his body. Maybe you're wondering, why should I be involved in the church? Well, we've already said that these verses tell us that God reveals a part of himself through each of us. I think of an analogy of a mosaic where, you know, each tile individually may not be that pretty alone, but when you combine them together, the picture becomes something far more beautiful because each of us together give a picture of Christ. I want you to write this next one down. Maybe talk about it in your life group. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but the Bible teaches I experience Christ more fully in the body. There are parts of Jesus that I will only know by knowing you, because he has revealed certain dimensions of his beauty in your life that he hasn't in mine. And some of you experience things in your life I haven't. You can share those things with me and I can grow. And if I want to know that dimension of God, then I need to know you. And it works the other way. If you want to know Jesus really, then you must be involved with other people in his body. And furthermore, God's power flows through Christ's body. And that really does mean if you want to see God's power at work in your life, you need to be involved in his church. I think it's an interesting thing. A lot of people pray to God to help them with something in their life, and they're disconnected from the church, which is his body. And I think sometimes God must be up in heaven listening to these prayers, and it's kind of like, okay, you want my power here in this world, but you're not where I place my power. So why are you asking for my power if you're not at the place where I put that power? It's kind of like you're standing in front of your unplugged TV complaining that the TV won't work. Plug it in, right? That's where the power is. And it's like sometimes we expect God to just zap us from heaven, and we think that's plan A. A lot of people think most spiritual things in the world happen through zapping. That's really how you think. But it doesn't work that way. And sometimes people say, if God doesn't do that, well, I guess I could go and get some help from the church. So like the church is their plan B. God's plan A is the church. God's plan A is his people. God's plan A is for each of us to be connected to Christ through his body. And if you're not, you're not on this spiritual life pathway that God has for you. It is only as you're connected to Christ through his body that we receive his life, and therefore that we can begin to grow like God intends, the way we saw last week. And it is only as out of that growth that we serve Christ in, and we serve Christ through his body, that we experience Christ and that we grow in maturity and stability. The church is God's plan A. It's the way that God's Spirit does his work. He does it through his people. The church is where he dwells. See, sometimes people wonder, well, how involved should I get in the church? And let me rephrase that question based on Ephesians 4. A better way of saying that is, how involved do you want Christ to be in your life? How involved do you want Jesus in your life? How well do you want to know Christ? See, if you're standing on the sidelines, just observing, just looking, just watching what others are doing, then you are only experiencing a fraction of what God wants for you, what he has for you. So if you need to get connected, then you need to get baptized if you haven't. If you need to get connected, You need to come to 101. You can do that today. And if you can't do it today, then sign up so you can take the next one. If you need to grow, you need to get in a life group. Do you know there's 546 people in our church family that are involved in life groups? And some of you go, oh, that's not me. That's right. There could be more. If you want to grow, you need to get in a life group. And then all of us, if we're not serving, then we need to start. So I've been telling you each of these weeks that our spiritual growth pathway really ultimately is all about becoming more like Jesus. And the Bible is so clear about this. When Jesus, who is God's Son, Jesus who created the universe by the word of his power, when Jesus came to our planet, he came as a servant. If you want to be like Jesus, you have to serve. And if you need a biblical reminder, here it is, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and Jesus came to give. And those two verbs should define our lives on earth as well. Jesus has put you here in this place. He has put you in this church. He has put you in your home with your family. He has put you in your neighborhood. He has put you in your city. Wherever he has put you in your life, he has put you there to serve and to give. And this is God's word for us today, Southwinds. Will you receive it? And more than that, will you do it? Let's be doers of God's word today. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads, please, as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have come up with this amazing idea of gifts, Lord, given to us all. And this morning, we recognize that we live in a world that pulls us in all kinds of other directions. But Lord, in our hearts, we know that what it is we do for other people in love that matters, what it is we do in service that lasts. And we want to be more like Jesus, the one we follow, the one who served us, the one who went to the cross and died for us. We want to be like him. So God, our prayer this morning is simple. Would you help every one of us here to know the joy of a life spent serving you, by serving the people who are around us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.